The day that I prayed to receive Christ and I went to the pastor and said, God's called me into the ministry, and the pastor said no, God says, I already know the plan. I don't care what he says. Keith, you just stay focused and do what I tell you to do. I'll change his mind. And he did. But he says, I know the plans that I have for you, declares. This is a declaration. This isn't a request. God declares everybody in this room, he has the plan specifically for you. And the plan, he says, is for welfare. It's not for calamity. It's not for destruction. It is to give you future, and it's to give you hope. We live in a world today that has no hope. We live in a world that gets up and we go, I just don't know where we're going to go from here. Well, maybe you don't, but God does, because God knows the plan that he has for you and me. Romans 8:28 is another verse, and it's such an awesome verse, and it says, and we know. Now, the challenge for you and me is, do we know? Do we think? No. Do we know? It says that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, I know that some of the things that we go through in life, we're like, ooh, I don't see how this could be good at all. But what it says is that God causes all things. Maybe you're in a windstorm today. Maybe you're in a drought today. Don't know where you are, but in the midst of it, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. I knew that I was called to go to the ministry right out of high school, and I didn't go. Had a friend of mine got sick. He died of cancer, and that set my world upside down. I got in the golf business, and that fit my lifestyle. It was partying, and we had fun, but it wasn't God's purpose. And my purpose didn't get fulfilled till many, many years later. And again, September 12, 1990, is when God said, Keith, I've been talking to you, but now I want you to listen to me. Get up, follow me. The lifestyle that you've been living is not what I want. I want you to live better than that. And he took me up, and he brought me where he wanted me to be, and that has allowed me to be here today to have the privilege to minister to y'all. Now, I want you to think about your past. But when your past meets God's purpose, I got to tell you, the world will begin to rock. We all have a past. We've all done things that we shouldn't do. Okay? God knows that. All right? Here's Exodus, and I want to kind of set the stage a little bit. But it's a story about Moses. And in Exodus 2, it says, the child grew. She brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. You know the story that Pharaoh wanted to kill all the boy children, and, you know, the mother had the baby, and, you know, they put Moses in this little crib that floated in the water, and it went down. I mean, what faith did a mom have to go, God was going to take care of my child? And then the thing that was so awesome is that Moses' own family runs down and says, listen, you know, I have a lady that could take care of this baby for you, and it was Moses' mom. So God had orchestrated the whole purpose, but it says she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. He became her son. Now, here's a guy that has no future at all, no purpose at all, and all of a sudden God orchestrates that she is taken, or he is taken into Pharaoh's house. He is raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He becomes something that he could have never been before, and she named him Moses, and the name means because I drew you out of the water. Now, do you think this caught God by surprise? Do you think that God went, I wonder how come she's putting Moses in the water? Well, you know, wow, golly gee, you know, Pharaoh, no. everything was laid out because God knows the plan. And the plan is for our welfare. It's not for calamity. Okay? It is to give you and me hope. Now, the challenge is you got to follow God's plan. Do you understand it? Will you understand it? And the answer is no, you will not. Because a lot of God's plans make no sense at all. We laugh about it, but when I went home and told Pam, I said, God's called me to the ministry. She said, no, he hasn't. She said, I married a cop. I didn't marry a preacher. And then her advice to me that any godly woman would do, go teach Sunday school. And I'll never forget, every Sunday morning I would go down and it's like, Lord, I know that you want me to be a preacher. And if you want me to be a preacher, give me a chance. Give me a place. Guy came to me and he says, I always preach at Star of Hope. Can't make it tonight. Would you go for me? And I went, and that was the first time I ever got to preach. And it was right up my alley. I preached to about 300 drunks. I mean, I was there, you know? I mean, we had something. We were related. I mean, it was cool, you know? I mean, we was talking the same language that night, you know? And next Sunday, I went and I went, oh, Lord, if it's really what you want me to do. And this went on and on and on for weeks. And every time I'd pray, God gave me a place to preach. And finally, when I went back to Pam and said, I know that God's called me, the pastor called, and we went to the office, and Pam says, I don't remember this, but our pastor was very quick. And he said, well, Pam, what do you think about this? And I'll never forget, Pam said, I didn't think that Keith was, but now I know that we are. And that was all God from the start. Now, in Exodus 2:11, it says, now it came about in those days when Moses has grown up that he went out to his brethren, looked on their hard labor. Now, he's not an Egyptian, but he went out and he looked at the people and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, which was one of his brethren. So he looked his way this way and he looked that way. And when he saw that no one was around, he struck down the Egyptian. Bible doesn't say how he did it. I don't know if he stoned him, if he shot him, if he hung him. Don't know what he did, but he struck him down. And I don't know if you've ever read it before. He hit him under the sand. Sounds reasonable to me. You know, we'll just scoop the sand on top of him, so no one will see. And then the Bible says he went out the next day. Behold, two Hebrews were fighting. And he said to the offender, why are you striking your companion? But he said, who made you prince or judge over us? You're intending to kill me as you kill, the Egyptian. Guess they had a windstorm. And the wind blew the sand off the guy, and there he was laying. And they saw that he killed him. And surely the matter has become known. Okay, things are not going very good, all right? Here's a guy that is truly living in Pharaoh's house. Here's a guy that has grown his up his whole life living with all of the things of royalty. Here's a man that walks out one day. He's just looking, sees a fight, ends up killing someone, and then someone confronts him about it. Now, when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. Okay? And look what it said. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Okay? Now, here's my question to y'all today. How many people are like Moses? How many people have done some pretty dumb stuff in their lives? How many people here have done some pretty dumb stuff in their lives? God's promises, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And in Exodus 3:12, he said to him, Moses, dude, certainly I'm going to be with you. See, we think if God calls, he's pushing us out by ourselves. But Moses, when he said, who am I? God said, do you think that I'm going to leave you alone? He said, certainly I'm going to be with you. When Moses saw the burning bush, we focus on the burning bush. They go, wow, that is so cool. Steve, the bush, it's burning. But it's not burning up. But the real key is not the bush. The real key is the fire that was in the bush and the power that lit the fire that didn't burn the bush. And we need to quit focusing on the circumstance and focus on God's power. Because God can use everyone here as a burning bush to do things for his kingdom. So your first excuse, who am I, doesn't work. Here's number two. I don't know enough. Well, here's a newsflash. You never will. Because it's a constant change. In Exodus 3:13, then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, well, what's his name? And what shall I say to them? In today's language, God's telling them to go, and Moses goes, well, what am I supposed to tell them? It's a good question, but the key is, I don't know enough. But here is the second promise. God will prepare you to meet every circumstance he puts you in your life. Exodus 14 and 15. God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am. I am has sent me to you. The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Well, you know, you might not know enough, but I'm telling you, if I sit here today and tell you that the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me here for this message today, do not tell me that you do not know enough. There is nothing else to be said. You've got it all. And if we sit here today and you go, I don't know enough, but who is sending me? Then the word is, I am. Because if the great I am has sent us, then the great I am is everything that you and I need on this side of life, all the way to the other side of life. He is everything that you and I will ever need in our lives. Now, here's excuse number three. And it's the fear of failure. In 4:1, Moses says, what if they won't believe me? Or what if they won't listen to me? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. See, there are more dreams that have died out of fear than failure. Now, listen to that statement. There are more dreams that have died because people are too afraid to do the dream
than out of doing the dream and failing. You know, when you plant a church, statistically, a new plant might last 4 years. This church has lasted 21 years. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Now, here's the thing that's important in the midst of this. If God asks you to do it afraid, if you're feared. Okay? Sometimes it doesn't make any sense. When the people stood at the edge of the water and the enemy is running after them and they were at the water's edge at the Red Sea, Moses said, put your foot in. I'll paraphrase it. Moses said, shut up and get your feet in the water. Because they were moaning and groaning, and the Lord said to him, to Moses, he said, what are you complaining about? Well, I mean, why are you doing all this? Get your people in the water. And sometimes you and I are going to have to put our feet in the water even if we're afraid. But if you are afraid, do it anyway. And if God has asked you to go to the mission fields, if God has asked you to be a singer, if God has asked you to be a teacher, and you go, well, I'm fearful of doing it, I promise you, if you don't do it, you're going to fail. And again, more dreams have failed out of fear than failure. Now, here's God's promise. God will provide the miraculous. You know, when we started that church over there, the very first time, our pastor said, I will pay your salary, Keith, for 5 years. It's a good deal for us. Well, a year into it, they said, we can no longer pay your salary. Well, we've already started the building. Well, we were meeting in a home. We had 60 people in the house. From there, we went to a school. They let us stay a year. And then we had to move. And we were really kind of at that impasse, settle for Midian or go to Egypt. You know, if we stayed where we're at, there's no risk, there's no rewards. But if we went forward, then there was going to be great sacrifice on everybody's part. Well, Paul Groman was the city manager at the time, and Paul says, Keith, here's what I'm going to do. Me and David Smith, he's another gentleman that was in this city, said, I'm going to go buy 5 acres. You come with me. We'll buy those 5 acres. We'll build the church. We'll lease it back to the church. Well, they did that. Well, about 5 months into it, the church had enough money. We were paying more money on the lease than we could if we bought it. So we went to the bank and we bought the building ourselves. I didn't need the church's money, First Baptist Church, because we had enough money to pay my salary. We had enough money to pay for the lease payment or the monthly mortgage payment because God lowered the money to us. And I know that y'all have heard this, you'll keep hearing it, but we had Frances Adams who came to me and she said, Pastor, we need more property because we had this 5 acres. And I said, well, Miss Frances, we need more money. Now, we're talking about God will meet the miraculous in your life, okay, if you're fearful. So we sat down, we talked, and Frances, I told her, I said, you know, we just don't have the money. Didn't hear anything else. About 2 days later, Lori's working with me as the financial person, my daughter, and she said, meet us at the bank. So we went to the bank. She had a document, and Miss Frances bought the 5 acres next to us over here and gave it back to the church. Yeah. Now, that was back in 1999 for $87,500. Now, a lot of the church have heard this. Some of y'all are new in our church, but God turned in a miraculous way, $87,500. We sold 3.8 acres of that for $1.7 million. Okay? Amen. But see, the Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? And he said, it's a staff. And he told Moses, he said, throw it to the ground. So he threw it to the ground, and it became a serpent. Now, the only thing in the midst of this passage that I see that Moses did that was really smart He ran. Well, because it became a serpent. Now, the funny thing is, Moses says, the Lord told me to pick it up. That would be selective hearing for me. Say, what? I know you didn't ask me to pick this snake up. No, I know you didn't do that. Pick it up. No. Pick it up. And by faith, Moses picked it up, and it turned back into the staff. But what I want you to understand is that if you're fearful, God will send you and meet your need, and God will show you the miraculous things that he will do so that other people will understand that you came from God. If you're too afraid to do it, the miraculous will never be seen. But if you are brave enough by faith, God will show people things through you that you won't even imagine that God will do. Amen. Now here's another big one. This is number four. It's feelings of insecurity. And I know that none of y'all have that, okay? Nobody here has feelings of insecurity at all, okay? I got to tell you, and it's the truth, when I go to the doctors, they'll say, get on the scale. I went, mm-mm. I ain't getting on your scale. No, you need to get on the scale. Uh-uh, not going to do it. You know, and I joke about Weight Watchers, you know. I don't go to AA, but I do go to Weight Watchers. It's the same thing. You go and you sit around in a circle and everybody talks, and you kind of feel like, hi, I'm Keith. I'm fat, you know. That's why I hate going there, you know. But we feel insecure, and in Exodus 4:10, Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been very eloquent. Now, he's asking him to go to Pharaoh. He said, neither recently nor in time past nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow. My tongue. Can you imagine going to Pharaoh that way? Pharaoh would go, get that crazy man out of this room. Well, he's insecure because he's looking upon himself, okay? So here's promise number four. In our weaknesses, God will make us strong. See, when you and I get to that place that we're so afraid that we can't do things, God goes, that's the greatest place to be. Because that means let go, let me. And in Exodus 4:12, the Lord said to him, "Who?" And I love this. I mean, it shows the Lord's sense of humor. I mean, Moses is sitting there stuttering around. I can't do this, Lord. And Moses said, who made your mouth, Moses? Who made man's mouth, or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then go! Even I will be with your mouth. Well, here's excuse number five. Being unavailable. Now, I heard a wonderful deal the other day. If anybody asked anybody in this room, would you help us move tomorrow? Well, I'm telling you, the excuses of unavailability will fly like ants on sugar. Oh, my great aunt, geez, you know, we're just unavailable. Well, in Exodus, it says, Moses says, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you want, but don't send me. See, if Arnold Patterson, our pastor over missions and home cells, comes to you and says, hey, Larry, I'm going to pick on you. You went over there too quiet, man, you know. But hey, Larry, we want you to lead a home cell. Oh, just go send someone else to do it. I'm cooking barbecue for Leah. And we've all been there. But the key here is he said, please, Lord, send someone else. But see, unavailability is the biggest killer in church today. Because you remember the very first passage? God knows the plans that he has for you. Well, God knows the plan. And if someone comes to you, that might be the beginning of your plan. So that God will use you in a mighty way. Well, who am I? A vessel that God wants to use. And here's promise number five. It's the promise of assistance. God is just not going to throw you out there. Now it says, then the anger of the Lord burned. All throughout Moses' excuses, it didn't ever say anything about him being upset. And all of a sudden, when he goes, send someone else, it said, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. And then he said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. The Lord knows. Do you think the Lord knew that Moses stuttered? Yes. Do you think Moses knew that the Lord knew that he stuttered? Yes. And you and I have to get to the place where we quit making excuses. Because you see, if everybody here would go share Christ with one person and bring that person to church next Sunday, this place would be full and we would start the second service. Amen. Now, here's the five excuses that we use. Number one, who am I? Well, I'm going to tell you that you're a child of the Most High God. That's who you are. I don't know enough. You don't need to know anything if God is in the picture. Kathy Rickman used to attend our church, and we went visiting one night. And she shared the plan of salvation through evangelism explosion. Now, her name was Kathy Rickman. Kathy got so nervous, she said, hi, my name is Rithi Hackman, and I'm, you know, and she just laid out the plan of salvation in such a messed up way, and after it was all said and done, the guy goes, I have never heard the gospel shared so clear to me in my life. See, God will speak through you however he wants. And the key with it is that when God's involved, they don't hear you. They will hear God, and that's the key. Fear of failure? We all have it. Feelings of insecurity? We all have it. And candidly, being unavailable, we all make excuses. But here's God's five promises. First of all, church, he'll never leave you alone. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. And he will always meet our need in every circumstance that we're in. If he sends you to the hospital, he will give you the prayer to say. If he sends you home to somebody to pray, he will give you the words to say. Number three, he will provide the miraculous. I mean, when he sent Moses, it started with the serpent. It started with all the different plagues. It went with everything. It was such a miraculous time, splitting the Red Sea, giving manna. And you know, I never thought about this. I heard when they were in the wilderness for 40 years, they never had to stop at Walmart and buy any clothes, okay? But here's one of the things. They grew in 40 years, but their shoes grew with them. Seriously. Their pants grew with them. Their shirts grew with them. And they didn't see the ongoing miracle in their life. They didn't know where they were going. There was a cloud over them during the day to give them shade. There was a cloud of fire at night that would lead them. They saw the miraculous. Number four, in our weakness, God will make us strong. And number five, he will supply help through other people to get us where we need to be. Amen? Now, I want you to either take a picture, because a lot of y'all are doing it with your phones, but I want you to see this. God never calls the equipped. He will always equip those that he calls so that they will meet the need and always to serve his purpose. Amen? Yeah. Give God a shout and a big hand clap of praise this morning.